Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Nitamstha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tata Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Is there a particular place you're studying from in the scripture, in Bhagavad Gita? Or a
particular verse you want to...
Prabhuji, we were continuing with the
Kunti
Stotra.
Kunti Stotra. Yes, yes. Kunti Stotra. Prayers of Queen Kunti, yeah?
Yes.
Yes, from Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Which, how many verses have you studied?
Three thirds.
Have you got the book?
Srimad Bhagavatam is not. Bhagavad Gita I have.
You don't have Bhagavatam?
No.
How were you studying it? You don't have the book?
See? No, I have not brought here.
Oh, you didn't have?
I thought you'd be taking Bhagavad Gita, so I brought Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, we can
is
take
Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah,
I have Bhagavad Gita as well.
Yeah, I have also Gita with me in my bag. I have, I think he should, he can get for me. Oh, maybe he brought the other one. Hare Krishna. Which chapter, any chapter you're doing? How far have you studied for Bhagavad? Yes?
I would request you to take shloka.
Oh, okay.
Then anybody who does charity. Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, on that if you can speak.
Well,
yat karoshi yad nashi.
Oh, that verse?
Yeah.
That's
that is beautiful.
Karma yoga.
Karma.
Uh-huh.
Because that's, we are in a Kali Yuga.
Uh-huh.
Our karmas are very poor.
Really?
That would be the beautiful
one. Well, that's yat karoshi, that's chapter 9, right?
Yes.
Text 27.
927.
Of course, if you wanted to speak about charity, charity is different, you know.
Yes.
Charity is explained in later on in Bhagavad Gita in the different modes. Charity and goodness and passion and in ignorance. Anyway, you want this verse, is it? Krishnarpam. Karmarpana. This is 9th chapter, page 432 in this book. Yad karosi yad ashnasi. Yad jahoshi tadasi yat. Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva madarpanam.
Tat kurushva madarpanam.
Yat karosi yad asnasi.
Yat karosi yad asnasi.
Yaj jahoshi tadasi yat.
Yat
jahoshi yadasi yat.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Yat karoshi yad ashnasi.
Yat karoshi yad ashnasi.
Yaj jahosi tadasi yat.
Yat
tapasyasi konteya.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Yat karoshi yad ashnasi.
Yat karoshi yad ashnasi.
Yat jahoshi tadasi yat.
Yat jahoshi tadasi yat.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Some other ladies can chant. Please chant.
Yat karoshi yat asnasi.
Yat karoshi yat asnasi.
Yat jahoshi dadasi yat.
Yat jahoshi dadasi yat.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Some more ladies chant.
Yat karoshi
yad asnasi.
Yat
jahoshi yad asnasi.
Yat
jahoshi yad asnasi. Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva
mad arpanam.
Madhiji, can chant? Yeah? Try.
Yat karoshi yad asnasi.
Yat
jahoshi tadasi
yat.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat
kurushva mad arpanam.
Yes, yes. Can try.
Yat karoshi yat asnasi.
Yat karoshi
yat
asnasi.
Yat jahoshi
tadasi yat.
Yat
tapasyasi
konteya.
Yat tapasyasi konteya.
Tat kurushva mad arpanam.
Very good. Yet,
yet,
whatever,
whatever,
karosi,
karosi,
you do,
you do.
Yet,
yet,
whatever,
whatever,
ashnasi,
ashnasi,
you eat,
you eat.
Yet,
yet,
whatever,
whatever,
jahoshi,
jahoshi,
you offer,
you offer.
Dadasi,
dadasi,
you give away,
you give away.
Yat,
yat,
whatever,
whatever.
Yat,
yat,
whatever,
whatever.
Tapasyasi,
tapasyasi,
austerities you perform,
austerities you perform.
Konteya,
konteya,
O son of Kunti,
O son of Kunti.
Tat,
tat,
that,
that.
Kurushva,
kurushva,
do,
do.
Mat,
mat,
unto
me,
arpanam,
arpanam,
as an offering,
as an offering.
Translation: whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport by Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus, it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together. And Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live. Therefore, he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies. Therefore, Krishna recommends, do it for me. And this is called archana. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting Hare Krishna mantra around his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so this chapter is entitled Most Confidential Knowledge. Chapter 9. This is right in the heart of the Bhagavad Gita, right? The center of the Bhagavad Gita. So it's very important instructions. Krishna is explaining this principle of offering whatever we do to him. Now it says, all that you eat. That doesn't mean you can offer anything, just whatever you like to eat. You think, I'll offer this to Krishna. Right? We should understand this properly. You know, you can't take fried chicken and offer it to Krishna. No? We have to offer, because in the previous verse, you have to remember that, you know, we're just taking one verse out here today, but if you look back to the previous verse, 26, what does it say? Yeah, right. It says very clearly what kind of food Krishna will accept. You know, so if somebody comes to your home and, you know, you can't just offer him any kind of food, you know. You have to know what food they like. And hopefully they're a vegetarian, you know, you want to offer them vegetarian food. So Krishna's a vegetarian, actually. Krishna doesn't eat non-veg. And he likes, you know, fruit, flowers, leaves, these simple things. And he likes also the devotion with which they're offered. But even if we don't have devotion, if we offer them to Krishna, that is also beneficial. It helps us to develop devotion. By offering these things, then gradually we develop devotion. This particular verse is describing karma yoga. Karma yoga is leading to bhakti yoga. We do karma yoga in the beginning and gradually we get more devotion. We come to bhakti yoga. You see? Karma yoga and bhakti yoga almost like the same thing, actually. So Krishna is saying here, whatever you do, you know, if you have some talent, I saw in the next room someone's got a guitar and there's a keyboard also. No, so okay, you do this, do it for Krishna. You know, sing the songs about Krishna, use it to chant Hare Krishna, and we have so many devotional songs of Krishna, we can praise Krishna. Whatever talents you have, somebody may they're good in computer, you can use your skill in the computer for introducing Krishna consciousness to people. You can make a website. I'm preaching in the Far East over in China, mainland China. So in Beijing, we have one lady, an elderly lady. And she didn't know English, you know, she's a simple lady, she was educated long, long ago, she didn't have the chance to go to university in those days when China was still very closed up society. But she has a desire to just do things. She got herself a computer and she started making a website. And she didn't only make it in Chinese, but she made it in English as well. And she didn't know any English. She doesn't even know English, you know. She made some mistakes, of course, you know, but she had so much enthusiasm to do this for Krishna. In Hong Kong, we have one young lady who made a website in Russian. She doesn't know Russian, but she wanted to just do something. She has an interest in the language, you know, and she just made this. She just wanted to do this, to use her skills for Krishna. And she put many pictures of Krishna and different things, photos of our activities, of our temple there in Hong Kong. And then she little sentences in Russian. And this way she's trying to do something for Krishna. So whatever you do, whatever talents you have, you know, try to use them for Krishna. Somebody is a good cook, they can cook for Krishna. Someone's an artist, they can paint for Krishna. You can see in our books, there's nice pictures here. Pictures have been put in. These pictures are all drawn by devotee artists, devotees, young people who came to Krishna consciousness, who were artists. So our teacher engaged them in Krishna's service, and you can paint some pictures of Krishna. You may like to dress up and decorate things. So you can have deities of Krishna. You can have the vigraha of Krishna. And you can dress them in nice clothes and put turban on Krishna and different jewelries and flowers and decorate Radha and Krishna. That's bhakti yoga. That's more than karma yoga. That's bhakti yoga. But the idea is whatever skills we have, whatever talents we have, try to use them in the service of Krishna. All that we do, all that we eat. So, you know, everyone has to eat. We have to maintain this body. So everyone eats. So the idea is whatever we eat, we want to relate that to Krishna also. If you can eat Krishna prasadam, then that is very powerful. It purifies our mind and intelligence. When you eat food which is offered to Krishna, there's no karma. You don't get karma by eating Krishna prasadam. When we eat foods which are not offered to Krishna, there will be some karma there. Just like sometimes people say, when you eat vegetables, you're also killing. They will say like that, right? They will say, you're eating vegetables, but that's also killing because the vegetables also have life. So, what is the difference if you're eating vegetables? And what is the difference? You know, you're killing, I'm also killing. If I'm killing animal or something, then what is the difference? What do you think?
You have to offer and eat.
Yes, right. But what is the difference between eating vegetables and animals? You know, we're killing the animal, we're killing.
Animals have conscience, when plants and all, they don't have conscience.
Well, they have consciousness, but it's lower. It's much lower. Much less, right. But they do have consciousness. They do have life. You know, they do have life. But there's a difference. That's the point. There's a difference between the animals and the plants. There's a big difference. You know, you kill a plant, you don't see blood everywhere. And you won't hear the plant. You know, but when you kill an animal, you know, it's a horrible scene, you know. They make a lot, they'll scream and, you know, it's blood everywhere. Oh, now we've got this horrible disease again, pig flu, isn't it, you know. Why do we get these kinds of diseases? Because how we treat animals. You know, that we people are so eager to eat all kinds of meat, and they raise these animals for slaughter, and they keep them in horrible conditions, filthy conditions, and then a lot of disease spread, and then the people get the diseases also. So it's not by chance that all of these horrible diseases come about. It's because we're so cruel to these other forms of life. So, you're correct that what we offer, when we take vegetables, you know, someone say, well, can I offer my animals to Krishna? No, right? Why not? Why you can't offer the animal to Krishna? You know, she said we were going to offer the vegetables to Krishna. So the man who wants to eat meat, he would say, well, I'll offer my animal to Krishna. Is that okay?
No, it's not pure.
It's not pure. That's not the food that we have to offer Lord. Because Lord doesn't need food. He needs whatever is our love.
Doesn't he need protein like us?
He needs our love.
Does Krishna not need protein?
Yes.
Huh?
This is a dead body.
Dead body. Non-veg. A life. We have no right to take somebody's life and offer.
But you're taking the vegetable's life?
No, that is... That is very low. Consciousness.
Yeah.
Krishna didn't mention this. Non-vegetarian
thing to offer. Right. Krishna won't accept the animal. If you want to eat meat, you have to go to who? Who will accept meat?
Makali.
Yeah, Makali.
To
yeah, right, Makali. But the Vedas say only, not just any animal.
Yeah.
It should be like goat. And not just any day, not just every day. Only one day in the month, on the dark moon night. It means once in a month, you can go in front of the goddess Kali. And when you're killing the goat, you know what you have to say?
Yes.
What?
You have the right to kill me for the next... you have the right. I am doing this to you.
Yeah.
You have the full right to commit that same thing to me also.
Right, yeah. Because I need to eat your meat, but in the next life you can kill me and eat my meat. So that's tit for tat, you know. You know, eye for an eye. The law of karma is like that. If you want to eat meat, this is the conditions how you're supposed to do it, according to Veda. But people don't follow that. So even when you follow Veda, there's karma. But if you don't follow Veda, then that is vikarma. It's very bad. You get very bad reaction. People will suffer a lot. But when we offer the vegetables, if we take some fruit, vegetables, leaves, different things, and we cook and offer them to Krishna, then that all the vegetables and plants and everything, they are benefited. They're all elevated to a much higher form of life because they're being offered to Krishna. They're being used in Krishna's service. And we can also eat prasadam. When we eat food which is offered to Krishna, then we become purified. Our minds become purified. We develop better brain and like that. So this is the principle that we should eat things which are offered to Krishna. And simple, sometimes you're outside, you know, what can you do? How to offer? So it's, for example, it's very hot now, you need to drink. So what do? We just say, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. You know, we just offer to Lord Vishnu, remembering Vishnu. Like that. Sometimes that's, you know, you're outside, you need to drink something. So you can just say Sri Vishnu like that. But at home, you know, you can have an altar, you can offer to Krishna. Outside, we can offer quickly, or you can offer in your mind, you can remember Krishna. So all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, we should, Krishna says, give it to me. That sounds a bit selfish, huh? Krishna says, whatever you're going to give in charity, give it to me. You know, if somebody was to say that to you, you think, oh, what the cheek, you know. You're so selfish. Why are you saying give it to you? What does Krishna mean here?
Because he will again give it to others. He don't have it for himself.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and because everything is his also. It, you know, we should understand it's all his. That he doesn't need anything. Of course, he doesn't want anything. As you say, you know, he'll take it, but he will give it to others. Right. So whatever charity we perform, Prabhupada suggests here, give it for the Krishna consciousness movement. Now the Krishna consciousness movement will use it to give to others in the service of Krishna, to give some places we go and distribute prasadam or do some charity work somewhere, helping people, unfortunate people, distribute some literature, giving people some Krishna conscious book. That is a very high charity, the highest form of charity. You know, there's different types of charity which you can perform. You know, if you give somebody, say somebody stops you in the street, some poor man stops you in the street and asks you for some money, and you give him something. Now if he goes and buys cigarettes or buys some alcohol, is that very good? It's not going to help us, is it? You know, we've given him some money and he's taken it to go and buy cigarettes or drink some alcohol with that money. That's karma coming on us. It's not going to be good for us and it's not good for him. So that kind of charity is not good. And if we give charity to someone with the idea, you know, that, well, it will come back to me in the future. Just like, you know, sometimes people say, give something for the old people's home or for the hospital. So what happens in the future? We can go to the, we'll be in the old people's home or we'll be in the hospital. You know, because we give some charity like that. So it comes back. It comes back in a similar way. But if you give for Krishna, when you give for Krishna, then you can go to be with Krishna. You know, this is how we can come to be with Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, if we can look up, actually Krishna talks about different types of charity. We'll just find that. It's in chapter 14. Oh no, wait, there must be much further on this. Must come in there. Oh, it's in text 17. Different types of charity are described in text 17, and it comes up here. Text 20 is charity in the mode of goodness. It says, first of all, charity in the mode of goodness. Charity, chapter 17, text number 20, describes goodness, and then 21 is passion. And then 22 is ignorance, right? So we were describing about ignorance. Anyway, text 20, charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, in the Vedic literature, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended. There is no recommendation for giving charity indiscriminately. spiritual perfection is always a consideration. Therefore, charity is recommended to be given at a place of pilgrimage and at lunar or solar eclipses or at the end of the month or to a qualified Brahmana or a Vaishnava or in temples. Such charity should be given without any consideration of return. Charity to the poor is sometimes given out of compassion. But if a poor man is not worth giving charity to, then there is no spiritual advancement. In other words, indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. So, Prabhupada is mentioning here about how you have to be careful in giving charity. You should not be just without thinking about it, but we should take advantage of the auspicious days to do these things, like Prabhupada mentions, when there's an eclipse. You can read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Lord Krishna went with all of his wives from Dwarka, and they went to Kurukshetra. You know, Lord Krishna brought his whole family, all of his wives, they all came from Dwarka, all the way from Dwarka, they came all the way to Kurukshetra. It's a long way. And Kurukshetra is over near Delhi, right? And Dwarka all the way over in the end of Gujarat. Yeah, so they came all the way with all of his wives and mothers, and Vasudeva and Devaki, mother and father, and all the family, they all came to Kurukshetra. And at that time also, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, they all came from Vrindavan with all the cowherd girls and cowherd boys. They all came. Why? Because there was an eclipse. There was a solar eclipse. It's a very, it's not an auspicious occasion, but it's actually an inauspicious occasion, but you take advantage of that day to do sacrifice. It's a very good day to do sacrifice and to perform some charity. And give charity to Brahmanas and like that. So Lord Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, they met after a long time at Kurukshetra. They went to that place just to perform because they knew the eclipse was coming and they wanted to perform sacrifice and give charity. So Prabhupada mentions a lunar or solar eclipse or at the end of the month or to qualify. Right? So like that, these different times are there, we can make them auspicious by doing acts like charity. People would give charity, they would give a cow. Sometimes they would give elephants, Nowadays, just think what you would do. Somebody gives you cows and elephants. Oh my goodness, who'll take care? So, we give charity, we give Bhagavad Gitas. You can give holy books like that. That's a good charity to give. Give Bhagavad Gitas, give Krishna Prasadam. We'll read about what are other types of charity. In the Mode of Passion, text 21, charity performed with the expectation of some return or with a desire for fruitive results or in a grudging mood is said to be charity in the mode of passion. Purport. Charity is sometimes performed for elevation to the heavenly kingdom, and sometimes with great trouble and with repentance afterwards. One may think, why have I spent so much in this way? Charity is also sometimes given under some obligation or at the request of a superior. These kinds of charity are said to be given in the mode of passion. There are many charitable foundations which offer their gifts to institutions where sense gratification goes on. Such charities are not recommended in the Vedic scripture. Only charity in the mode of goodness is recommended. Yeah. So, again, the same point which was made in the first verse, that we should discriminate when is the proper time and the place, the should be proper understanding why one shouldn't do it grudgingly. You know, if one is not able to give charity, you shouldn't do it. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a nice example about charity. It concerns Indra, King Indra of heaven. He needed a weapon to fight against a big demon called Vritrasura. You know this story in Srimad Bhagavatam? Have you heard of this demon, Vritrasura? There was a great demon called Vritrasura. So Indra was told that you need to make a weapon to kill this demon. You need to get to make this weapon, you have to get the bones from a yogi's body. There's a great yogi. So Lord Brahma told him, the Supreme Lord Vishnu told him, there's a great yogi, his name is Dadichi. He's done a lot of austerity, a lot of tapasya, and his body is very powerful. If he will give you his bones from his body, you can use those bones to make that thunderbolt, that vajra, his weapon, Indra's weapon. And then you can use that weapon to kill the demon. So Indra, they thought, do you think, will he give the bones from his body? You know, that's an unusual charity to ask someone. You know, how would you like that, you know? You know, we hear about people giving, you know, some organ from their body. You know, maybe you have to give your kidney or something like that to help some other person, or you give blood. But to give your bones, you know, that's a very unusual charity. So Indra, anyway, they encouraged Indra. They said, go and ask him. He's very renounced. I think he will give you. So Indra came to Dadichi and told him that Lord Vishnu has told us that we need your bones. We would like to have your bones from your body to make a weapon too. So the yogi said, oh, you want me to give up my body so you can take my bones? Don't you know the body is the thing we are most attached to? It is, and at the time of death, it's very painful to give up this body. So actually the yogi was testing them. He wanted to hear some reasoning from them, that, you know, why you're asking me for this body, why you want my bones. So Dadichi said, this is the thing we're most attached to. You want me to give up this body? So Lord Indra told him, he said, you know, you should understand that it's very difficult for us to ask for charity. You may be saying it's difficult for you to give charity, but you should know it's also difficult for me to ask for charity. Sometimes, you know, the beggar, the person asking for charity may come, and we may not appreciate that it's difficult for him to come and ask for the charity. And at the same time, that when a person is being asked for charity, they may not be in a position to be able to give charity. So that is also difficult, that someone's asking for charity, and you would like to give charity, but you're not able to give it. So it can be difficult in both ways, both for the person asking and for the person giving. So especially if someone asks you for your body, you know, that's not very easy to give up, because we're very attached to this body. Anyway, the yogi, he agreed. He gave up this body. He said, well, this body has to be finished one day anyway. Sooner or later this body will be finished. So if I can give up my if I give my body to you, you can do some good with it. So he said, all right, let me give up this body. And by yoga, he gave up his body. And then Indra took the bones and made his weapon, and then he went and killed Vritrasura. So that's one. That's charity, a very special charity. Have you any experiences about charity? Do you know any interesting incidents? People ask you for charity. Were you able to satisfy them?
Partially.
Huh?
Partially.
Partially, yeah. Not easy to satisfy everyone. We'll read also, what is charity in ignorance? Text 22. Charity performed at an impure place, at an improper time, to unworthy persons, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. For example, Prabhupada writes, contributions for indulgence in intoxication and gambling are not encouraged here. That sort of contribution is in the mode of ignorance. Such charity is not beneficial. Rather, sinful persons are encouraged. Similarly, if a person gives charity to a suitable person but without respect and without attention, that sort of charity is also said to be in the mode of darkness. Now, another story about charity is also there in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, in relation to Lord Krishna. It tells a story about one king, Niga, and he was giving a lot of charity, and he would give wonderful charity to, and he would select the best cows who had only one calf, a young calf. It means they were giving a lot of milk, you know, they were young cows who had just had their first calf, and they were giving good milk, and these cows were decorated with pearl necklaces and gold on their horns and on their hoofs, and they were all beautiful cows. And he would collect these cows, and then he would give these cows to brahmanas who were very pure and serious brahmanas, and who were detached from the material world and who did not have much possessions. They were not wealthy, they were not, you know, accumulating a lot of material things. He would select such qualified brahmanas, and he would give these best cows to them in charity. And he was doing this many, many days, for a long time. He was giving not just one cow, he would give many cows to each of these brahmanas. But one day, one of the cows which he had given to one brahmana entered into the group of cows which he was giving to another brahmana. And so then both the brahmanas they complained that, you have given this cow to me, how can you give this cow to him? The two brahmanas were saying that, the king gave this cow to me. So they came to the king and they said, why did you do like this? You give a cow to me and now you've given the same cow to him? This is, what kind of charity is this? And the king was trying to satisfy the brahmanas. He said, I'll give you both 100 cows each more. I can give you both 100 cows each more. And both the brahmanas said, no, I want only that cow. They would not accept any other cows. They said, you gave that cow to me. I have vowed not to accept any more charity, so I can't take any more cows from you. But you have given this one cow to me, and now you've given it to someone else. This is not good. So they could not satisfy the brahmanas. And the result was, at the end of the life, that king, he was asked, at the end of life, Yamaraj said to him, that you've done a lot of piety, you've done a lot of charity, but you've done also some bad thing. Do you want to suffer for the bad thing, or do you want to enjoy the good thing first? So the king said, let me suffer for the bad thing I have done. So because he had given the charity like this in the wrong way, the result was he had to become a lizard in the bottom of a well. Do you know that story? No? You never heard that? It's there in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Krishna Leela. And that king at the end of his life, next birth, he became a lizard in the bottom of a well, big lizard. But after some time, that well was actually where Lord Krishna and all his children were playing. And after some time, the children came and told Lord Krishna, come and see this creature, this insect in the bottom of the well. And Lord Krishna came and he put his hand in and brought out the, and as soon as he touched the lizard, then the lizard changed, became again. But this example is given that this is the danger of giving charity in the material world. If you give charity, because that's karma kanda. See, this king was doing karma kanda. He was giving many cows in charity for his own benefit, to get material enjoyment. But because he made one little mistake, he had to suffer. And that was why he had to become a lizard at the bottom of a well. Not very good, huh? Yeah. The point is this, you know, material, this karma kanda, the material charity, that one little mistake goes wrong and it can bring a lot of trouble. So don't, you know, we don't want to bother with that. But if you do a little activity for Krishna, even a little effort, a little endeavor which you do for Krishna, that will save you from the greatest danger. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayona vidyate swaupam apiyasya dharmasya trayate mahatopayat. Krishna says, if you make a little advancement, just a little progress in trying to be a devotee, then Krishna will save you from the greatest danger. It will save you from the greatest. What is the danger? The danger is like that. That now we've got the human body, but the next life we don't know. Next life we don't know. If we become a lizard in a well, it's not very good. Yeah. Now we've got this human body. We want to go on better. So that's why you have to do some service for Krishna that will protect us from the danger. And whatever you do, all that you, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give, if you do it in Krishna consciousness, it will be for your greatest benefit. Even you just offer a little leaf, a little water, a fruit, you know, it's so easy to make advancement. You don't need to take a lot of trouble. It's not difficult. Just like you were chanting Hare Krishna before I came here. We were riding in the car, but we called and we could hear on the phone. And Kiran said, well, I said, wow, they're chanting really hard, or really heavy, yeah. They're really fired up. You were all chanting with a lot of enthusiasm, huh? So we were hearing. So like that, that's how, you know, if you just do like that, you know, that will take you back to Godhead very quickly. This holy name, the chanting, this is the greatest charity. The greatest act of charity, chant the holy name. It benefits everyone. Everyone who hears. And there's so many insects, so many creatures everywhere. They hear the holy name. So this is the most powerful of all activities. The chanting of the holy name. Kirtanat eva Krishna shya mukta sangha param prajat. Just by chanting you can cross over the ocean of material existence. Get all success. Any questions? Yes.
How do you come to know that the charity which we are doing is good and we always do the charity for the cause,
eh? Well, yeah, the charity which is the best is that, you know, when you do it in relation to Krishna, that's the highest charity.
Otherwise we are doing a lot of charities and we donate something.
So, I've mentioned, you can read over this again.
Yeah.
You can see there's charity and goodness. You know, it's done at the proper time, proper place, for a worthy cause.
When the charity is to be done.
Yeah.
The date and what is the purpose. There should not be behind intentions when we are doing charity. Behind intentions, the day is important, the time, that is very important. And what purpose we do.
If they are given to beggars, is it correct?
Yeah, that's what he means. Intoxication.
Yeah, so it's wrong. That
it's better to give the food.
It's
let
prasadam.
Him eat.
Yeah.
Prasadam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deliberately.
Because he's so
because but if
so,
that money is used for something bad thing, that come out will come to
that's
us.
Why I never give beggars money.
I give fruits.
No, sometimes, you know, see, one time, at least at one occasion, Bhaktisiddhanta, Prabhupada's spiritual master,
yes.
was in Mayapur. And they were taking people around Mayapur. And there were people begging, you know, in a holy place. Naturally, there's people begging. You come out of the temple and they're saying, blah, 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 you know. Like that. And he told them, he said, give charity. He said, don't be miserly. He said, give them something. You know, because charity is a duty for the grihasthas, actually. You know, that we should give some charity for the poor, the underprivileged, the unfortunate. We shouldn't be hard-hearted. That especially in a holy place, like Vrindavan, Mayapur, where people are begging, that these people are, you know, that this is the proper place to give charity. And also, even you're at home, you know, there are good times also, auspicious times when you can give charity. Of course, if you're worried, you say you like to just give food, okay, you know. But sometimes, you know, I've had experience, sometimes you give people food and, oh no, they throw it, you know, they don't like the food, you know. So it's, sometimes it's difficult, you know.
You were giving us example of Prabhupada Ji and his Guru Maharaj.
Oh. Yes, that he told them that you should give charity.
Okay.
You should give to these people. That when you go to the holy place, you know, we should be willing to give. You don't have to give a lot of money. You know, that's the point. Prabhupada himself, they were in the train and there were people begging. You know, so Prabhupada took 1 rupee and they said, oh, only 1 rupee. And Prabhupada said, you're a beggar. You know, you're not going to give a beggar 100 rupees, you know. Your beggar comes, you give them, you know, give them some coins or something, you know. You give them the small money, you don't give some big money. Because they're just begging anyway, you know, they don't expect to get big money. So, but the idea is, we shouldn't be hard-hearted, we should be compassionate on people. Prabhupada told me one time, I was with Prabhupada in England, and we were in the park, and he was telling about how you can't change people's destiny so easily. He gave the example. He said, one time a beggar came to Lord Shiva and Parvati. So Parvati said to her husband, we should help this poor man, he has nothing, give him some charity. And Lord Shiva said, we won't be able to help him so much. You know, Lord Shiva took some jewels, and he put the jewels inside some fruit. And he closed the fruit. Then he gave the fruit to the man. And the man, he said, now watch. The man took the fruit, immediately went and sold the fruit for very small amount. Inside was the jewels, you know. He didn't know that inside there were some valuable jewels. Lord Shiva was showing his wife that, you know, you can't change someone's destiny so easily. And if their destiny is to be poor, you know, you're not going to make them rich overnight. So, but at the same time, you know, we can have some compassion for them, give something. Not that you have to give them a lot.
So, but if they do with that money something bad, because we are not knowing that person.
Yeah.
So then that karma.
Yeah.
It will come to us. Yes.
Yeah.
But we have given with good intentions, but still
the
karma will come
if he has done. If he has done wrong, it will come to us. Part will definitely
come
to us.
But if our intentions are pure,
our intentions are pure. That's why
will it come to us?
That's why we should be enough with knowledge of scriptures that, that's what Prabhuji said, to a limit. You shouldn't give beyond the limit. He should only be able to buy bread.
With that money.
With that money. And satisfies him. Prabhuji.
You see, if you give the charity on an auspicious time, then, you know, even if he does something wrong with it, that's his karma. You're not going to get the karma.
Yeah, but then don't you think it's again a selfish thinking that we are seeing the time and everything and then giving it? That is again for our own benefit, not for the
That's why it's goodness. That's why it's goodness. It's for your for your benefit, but for your good benefit. It's not you won't make spiritual advancement, but materially you're making benefit. If you want to make spiritual advancement, then it must be for a spiritual purpose. You see, but if you're taking advantage of the auspicious time and place, then that is not so much spiritual. That may not be so spiritual. Huh? Yeah, you get punya. That's punya. Yeah. But if you do it for a spiritual purpose, like if you give for the temple, then that's spiritual. That's more spiritual. You're giving for the temple.
Donations made for charity institutes cry. Donations for the charity institutes cry, old age home.
Yeah. You can give something.
That is again good for a good thing only.
That is punya.
Everything. But now yesterday I read a mail how in India the temple lands are giving away.
Right.
The lands.
Yes.
And by the time our culture will be finished from India if it goes on like this.
The mail I got said the government's taking away the lands.
Yes, I got the government's taking.
So what are we going to do after building so many schools and colleges when our culture will be finished by the end? So why not build more temples than,
Yeah, well, we're trying to fight against these things, We want to hold on. Yeah, they're taking away the lands from the temples. Right, that's true. Yeah, because the politicians are not Hindus. The politicians are Christians or Muslims.
This is how I just read the main yesterday and it's how mentioned that see what is happening and where we are going. We're not aware of all this.
Delhi, the international airport, it has a Hajj terminal.
Yeah.
It was built by all the money that came from Bali.
Madrasa built by the temple. If husband is not into this, or how to bring children into it.
Well, if you want to bring your children into it, you should send them for the children's classes.
Yes.
We have nice classes for the children, and they have a lot of programs. They go to visit different places. Even there's a group going to India next month. They're going to the Char Dhams. You can join some of these programs. Every year they have programs to go. Last year they went to Indonesia, Bali, and then to Malaysia and Singapore. And this year they're going to Char Dham, Himalayas. So like that, you can join. Otherwise, every weekend there's programs. Every Friday, Saturday, there's programs for the children. And they have also sloka classes, and they do dramas, and have different festivals. So that's important. Try to get the children along there to send them to these things, get them to take part. A lot of their friends may be there. As far as your husbands go, I don't know. I mean, that's maybe the most difficult thing to try to get your husbands into.
So what I suggest them is cook prasadam, offer it to Krishna, then offer it to your husband. If they eat prasadam, rest, Krishna will do.
Yes. Definitely you want to give your husbands prasadam. Even the ladies in China, even in China where I go, the ladies will tell their husband, if you want to eat meat, you have to go outside. Because in our home, we're not going to cook meat anymore. You just have to tell them, that our home is going to be vegetarian. This is our dharma. We don't want to have the sinful food, the impure foods in the home. So if you still want to have these things, you go outside and eat them. But you should be strict. You have to be religious with them and tell them that this is the proper food for the family, for your health, and for your benefit.
Women are more religious than men?
Usually, yeah. should be. Women are more religious than men. Women are the better half of the husband. They share in the responsibilities. So, you know, the husbands inherit the pious activities and the sinful activities of their wives. They share in the karma. Yeah, so you want the best for each other. You should be Krishna conscious. Follow the religious principles. Offer your food to Krishna. And that way you get there's no karma involved. You should try to get your family, you know, if your family all come for the programs, if you can't come every week to the Sindhi Hall for the program on Friday there, then at least you should come when there's festivals. Maybe once in a month we have a festival. Coming in next week, I think, is Narsingha Chaturthi. It's a festival. Then after Narsingha Chaturthi, then there will be Janmashtami. And like that, there's big festivals, you know, Diwali, Govardhan Puja, and Ram Navami, and these different festivals. You should make sure to bring the family for these programs. At least you come and have a darshan, take prasadam, then do these days. If you can have an altar in your home, you make a nice altar with pictures of Krishna, and then offer incense and offer flowers. It's very very good. Every morning you begin with some prayers in front of the altar. You begin by giving namaskar and reciting prayers. And then the children, they see these things. It's very important for them to see that their parents are religious. And the children will follow the parents, what the parents do. Children follow. Give them the right start in life. You can also have kirtan in your home. You know, there's a saying, the family which prays together stays together. And so you need to do these things, praying together, not just sitting watching television together, but, you know, praying together. You recite Bhagavad Gita. The children are learning, many children, they're learning these slokas. They recite the slokas very nicely. I'm seeing that they're doing very nice activities for a large number of children. At the center there, we have the center over in Dubai, and Alin Center. The children come there sometimes, different places. We want to encourage them to feel pride in their religion. It's such a rich culture, rich tradition. And they should appreciate it. It's easy to lose one's roots when you come out of India. Even in India nowadays, you can lose your connection, forget what your roots are. But it's also easy here to lose your roots. But there's also very strong roots here, though. There's some very good devotees. There's some very religious people. And if you can associate with them, then it's a great advantage. Meeting regularly like this, coming together, discussing Bhagavad Gita, it's very nice. This is the proper use of our time. In India, maybe you don't get this opportunity.
Yeah, you don't get. Not in India for a long time.
In India, I never get. That's too many people told me the same. But here in Dubai, somehow you get that time, you get the chance that you can come together and you sit.
In India, we just go to the temple and just.
Yeah.
That's all we can.
Right. That's why, you know, that's why we're seeing these things happen in India, why the temples are losing the lands and temples are not being, the government's taken over all the temples. You know, we're not so strong. The Hindu Dharma is not being kept strong. It's not united. We need to make it stronger. We need to revive the culture. Don't get washed away and don't dilute everything. with westernization. So this is important. We have a great culture, great tradition. So many wonderful temples are there. In the past, they had so much. Gradually, it's been lost. And we're not so, you know, temples are one thing, but, you know, we can have our home as a temple. This body is also a temple, you know. Krishna, God's in our heart. The body is also a temple. So take care of this body. And then make your home also a nice temple. And then that way, then we'll appreciate more also big temples like Balaji and so on. So chanting, this you have to do regular. You should try to chant every day. Get your children together, get them to chant with you. Your husband also, try to get him to chant. You can make your home just like a holy place. Just like, you know, you go to a holy place of Vrindavan or somewhere, you know, you have nice forms of Krishna, you keep also pictures of Krishna. You can grow also Tulsi tree. Tulsi tree is very sacred. Play also the nice music, the bhajan, the kirtan, or the chanting of the slokas. If you play this kind of music in the home. And then all the food, you're always offering it to Krishna, prasadam. That way then your home becomes just like a holy place. And you'll feel so much happier and peaceful in the home. So we're seeing people all over the world now take up this culture. In Russia, there are so many temples, so many Russian families. They're all Krishna conscious. In China, what to speak of other places. In India, people are what? We don't know what's going on, you know. Some are going to the West, you know. Losing. So you're so near to Krishna, it's very easy for you to take up Krishna consciousness. But if you go away, you're moving further away. People from these other countries, they're far away, but they're trying to come closer.
ISKCON temples are being built in Jaipur, Kanpur. It's not that good. Many places have been built also.
In so many places, but I have seen it running, but I think for past five, 6 years the plan is still, it has not started. Even in Vrindavan, we have huge place, land, still, development is standstill. Huge plots are there. We want to build up colonies, but what is happening is the lands are being misused. They are quietly selling it on to tri-party contract or four-party contract. Because today I want a house at Dham, so I may go. And they know very well that I have NRI. I don't have time. I come on a limited. They make false papers, everything. And I will not even know that I am. It's not a second sale or a third sale. It will be a dispute thing. This is how the land is getting sold. This is happening very often and very badly it is happening.
Yeah, it's not a good idea to think you can own land in the holy Dham anyway.
True.
The holy Dham all belongs to Krishna.
Krishna, yes.
It's all Krishna's land.
True.
Another reason why temples don't get built in India is because they're always planned in a grand way. If you look at any mosque or any church in India, they are very small. Like for example, last summer we went to a place called Kurk. It's in Karnataka. From Mangalore to Kurk is 1.5 hour drive by car. Every 2 kilometers there was a mosque. It was called Jama Masjid Mosque. The mosque was size of this room only. It was on a portable cabin style. Same style for all of them. I think same man has built it every 2 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one room, which is divided down and up. Downstairs were all the classes were taking place. Upstairs was a big hall, which was given to the community nearby to hold their functions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was every 2 kilometers you could clock it.
Mm-hmm.
The mosques were there.
Yeah.
On the main highway.
Uh-huh.
In India, on the main highway, those lands are expensive.
Uh-huh.
But we never see a temple like that.
Mm.
We never see a small temple. The temples are built in grand way. The pujaris are totally unreachable. Isn't it? He will not know that the person living next to the temple, the family, is poor and dying. But in a mosque, the Maulvi Sahib will know each and every person. If somebody's daughter is getting married, he will make sure everybody collects something for that girl for dowry. But in temples, they never do that.
Mm.
That is the reason why nobody wants to give to temple, because no, it will go to the pujari guy and pocket it. But never happens in the mosque. They do a lot for their community. We went to Sri Lanka. We went to Sri Lanka 2 years ago. In main cities, you can see all Buddhism everywhere. But you take a turn, little bit inward, say maybe 2 hours drive from Colombo city. It's all Muslims there. Same again. The mosque takes very good care of the community who lives around them. But in India, temple people don't do that.
They do proper coordination.
The basic need of the people who live around the temple is not taken care of. A person next to the temple is dying, whereas Pujari ji has a lavish prasadam for himself every day. Not done. That's not.
Yeah, that's why Prabhupada ji in one of his lectures he said that all the ISKCON temple we need to see to it that round the clock, no matter what time the devotee comes, for him or her, prasadam has to be there.
Yeah.
Enough
see,
of stay, comfort has to be there.
There is more to this than prasadam.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes a person doesn't need prasadam, they can eat food, but they need a moral support. They need, when his daughter is getting married, that the community is there to support him. You know how in India, the small people, people in lower categories, have more dowry pressure. See,
yes.
Those things have not gone from Indian society.
Still.
That is still there. A person who has a daughter, you know, says, oh my God. Isn't it? In India, in villages, still people crib
yeah,
when they get a daughter.
In Rajasthan and all, in the rural interiors,
but it doesn't matter.
They
rural,
can,
and that's where
they
the conversion takes place more, in rural area and tribal areas. Because no government doesn't go there. We don't go there,
uh-huh.
And only the Christians and the Muslims, they go there. People, from far away countries come into India on visit visa, and they live there for 10 years without extending their visit visa. They go to these tribal areas and nicely build a small hut. He will make a church.
Mm-hmm.
Funding will come from overseas for him. And before you know it, everybody is eating meat. And everybody thinks, oh, I'm so well-to-do, why should I be Hindu? But never a Hindu person will go into any of these tribal areas. You don't need to make a huge temple. You can put a statue underneath a tree. But be there for them. But nobody does that. How many of anybody goes? I don't know. I don't know anybody who has ever done this in the circle I know. Who goes? My husband is part of an organization. It's called Ekal Vidyalaya. It's one teacher concept in India, where in a tribal area, one person goes, lives with them, and teaches the children basic reading and writing and arithmetic, basic hygiene, and tells them about India, and what, you know, giving them little sense of having pride that they are Indian.
Yeah.
And keeping a Hindu religion, that if they are Hindu, then teaching them about Hindu religion. But again, if you tell about anybody that, you know, when my husband tells people about that, this is what he's doing, and to run one school, it just costs 16,000 rupees, that's what, 1,300 for a whole year, not even a month, to just feed that teacher, that's all it costs. But if you go ask somebody, nobody helps.
Yeah.
And this is where the problem lies. We always say, kuch nahi ho sakta. Kuch nahi ho sakta because we don't do it. We expect somebody else to do it for us. But ourselves, we don't want to give up our comfortable life and do something. And this is why conversion in India, and this is why conversion anywhere takes place, not only in India. You go to Sri Lanka, they're not Hindu, they're Buddhist. And the conversion is rampant. And we saw it, me and my husband were shocked because where we went in a small town, this is actually where Raman kept Sita. That's the area in Sri Lanka where we went to see. They still have that gufa, the cave, the Sita, they say that Sita was kept, the kutia. Everything is there. In front, if you see, it's all Buddhist. Everybody is Buddhist. But you drive maybe 5 minutes in interior of that same town, it's all mosque everywhere. And there was a research done that if this way it continues, Sri Lanka will be a Muslim country in another 15 years' time. And all, see, in Sri Lanka, every Purnima is a national holiday. Every 15 days, Sri Lanka stops because it's Purnima Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a holiday there. And so, because the, what you call them, the Buddhists, the monks there, have a very big control on the government there. So they were told about this, look into your backyard, conversion is taking place. But they said, no, don't worry. It's not. But you go in yourself and see. Same way in India, you go to all these, like I'm saying, from Mangalore to Coorg. These are very small areas, very small, inside the mountains, inside the jungles. They are Muslims. You can see the mosque every 2 kilometers, but you never see temples every 2 kilometers. Even in the city, you don't see it. You see a mosque every 2 kilometers, but you'll never see a temple. And this is where the problem is.
Because in
we
India,
do anything.
The thing is, there's no class like this. Like, no, Hindu community
yes,
comes together, so
they
meet each other.
They don't pray one.
Mm-hmm. But
yes.
In churches
they
and all,
pray.
They go,
yes.
They're compulsory. They go every Friday. So the people come together, so
one.
They know the people each other.
That's why you have unity.
You have
in church.
In temple, that is not the system.
In the holy name.
People go in each other.
For Hindus, they don't pray one.
No,
you
but
everybody
wants to take a credit.
Yes,
everybody can pray. At least have a temple. If you want to pray to Ganesh, you have a Ganesh temple. At least have a temple where people come. It should be like a community.
Yeah, you've brought up some very important points. I appreciate what you're saying. And we are working in many ways in a lot of these goals. We do have a lot of within our own institution. We're encouraging much more caring for the devotees and helping them.
Exactly. Because
this is something which is very important.
This huge temple that's coming up in Chennai, they've been collecting funds for it for years. Why? Why make a temple of 20 crores, one temple? Why can't you make 20 temples of 10 crore, one crore each? You'll reach more people that way.
There are some good reasons, though. I mean, you have to understand that our particular way of worship, you know, the type of worship which we do, it's
grand.
You know,
I understand.
Yeah,
the organ can be very grand.
The kirtan,
the can be simple.
You know, the kirtan and like that, you know, that you want to have, you know, the more there are people there, then the more there's
that's
atmosphere.
Building can be simple, the altar can be ultra grand, that's not the thing. But the thing is that the basic concept was temple was started initially, it's gone. We go there because, okay, I did something wrong yesterday, okay, let me go. You know the temple. No. The pujari should be the center of the community who holds everything together. He should be the main person taking care of everybody around.
No, this is not
everybody's
thing. We cannot have a pujari because there is no purity left out. There is. See, a pujari when you say.
Pujari is a paid person.
Yes. What happens is, the mithai has come, it is going to his house first.
You see, within the Muslim, it's not that all the mosques are that size. They're not all, not all the mosques are just like this room.
Yeah,
they've got some very huge mosques also.
They are to,
in Malaysia,
adds to the grandeur of the whole thing. I understand that, but on the side of it, they do keep all these small mosques. We never do.
See, so if you have crossed the in Tamil Nadu, the south side and all, you have each and every step you have temples.
Yes. No, you go to Chennai. You go to Chennai. Every corner is a church. My husband went last year.
Let me finish that. In Tamil Nadu, south side, if you go, you have each and every corner, everywhere you have temples. But nowadays, all the temples become a club. Nobody is coming there. So it is not that that day they have built lot of temples, only small.
Small
temples.
So
the architecture is
very
good.
Like my husband asked people in Chennai, that how come you every corner you have a church, you don't feel that you should have a temple also? He said, no, it's okay, there are people only, that's fine, it's okay. If our Hindus convert to Christianity, it's okay, it doesn't matter. I mean, my husband was really shocked when he said that it's okay if they convert to Christianity, there still are people only. So the mentality is very different.
You see, even within Christianity, they also bring their identities with them.
With them.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. But this is what, you see, on our level, there's only so much we can do. See, I can teach my child Krishna consciousness. Maybe I can teach my neighbors. But when it comes to a bigger organization like ISKCON, I don't know how much what goes on behind.
No, but by
those.
So far, in a country like India where Hindi is a language, how many of the people know Hindi? If you are saying only pick up from the root, right? How many of them know Hindi?
No,
so,
but see,
the problems are many that way. We ourselves want to talk in English. We also are counted in that.
Yeah.
So, why did you point on others?
No, but somewhere something has to start. If we don't start, nothing will ever get accomplished. Fine, we will have faults. We already have faults. But somebody has to look into all these things also. I went to court, and in the middle of the town, I could hear Prabhupada's mahamantra was being played. And I looked around. So I asked somebody, I said, from where this is coming? They said, oh, this is a new temple open. You go in here. But there was no marking anywhere. See, I knew about Krishna Pan, I knew about Prabhupada, so I went there.
Yeah.
It's somebody's actually a rooftop, and somebody has given it, and there are two Prabhujis, they are staying there, and they have made a nice altar there. They just temporarily made a shed there. But it was very nice to go to a place like that, because at least, if nothing else, you could hear the chanting.
Well, that's our program, you know, this is how we're trying to preach. We're not even putting up a building. You know, we're just simply going to people's homes and having programs in people's homes.
Here I wanted to add, when Mataji said this, many a years, the way Mataji said, myself and my Prabhu, we always have a motive that whenever we are going back to India, since his roots are from Kerala, no doubt there is nobody in Kerala, but roots are from Kerala and from my side, North side. So whenever I am towards North, I will see that I donate in North side. And when though we go to Bombay, we will see to it that we send money, you know, to the temples. But what happened is, when we went to ISKCON, and I heard lecture of Guru Maharaj Jagatnath Swamiji, and he said, you know, about charity. That's the reason, you know, I'm more keen to go deep and deep study into this. And when my Prabhu heard this, I tell you, last year onwards, we stopped giving, you know, anywhere and everywhere. So we both sat together and we focused that since I am into ISKCON, I am sheltered. So he said, you are the right one to decide. So I was the one to tell him, see, all whom we know, all whom we come to know, you know, we keep traveling, or we are in, if not traveling, we are in a mall, or in a shop, so I'm always with a clicker or a chanting, or with my Kanchi Mala, somebody comes and asks me. I take it as, this is Krishna's arrangements, I call that person, or I say to it, do you have Bhagavad Gita at home? Do you read Bhagavad Gita? Or do you chant? I take her or his number, I say to it, if he or she is not having Bhagavad Gita, we have that money. It has to go to charity. So that money is there. We take out the money. We buy Bhagavad Gita and we see to it that it is good. So I think so. Here all who are, we are there. Not like I'm doing a propaganda. We, since we have started it, Mataji, I'm coming to your point only, that I feel that she must do or she feels she must do. All who are here, we feel, you know, we are blessed by Krishna. Let us take this opportunity, and even if a bit we can do towards this mission, we must try to. One head is not one. It can be millions and billions. Because when we go back home, we speak to so many relatives. May not all be in Krishna conscious or something. Let us, you know, encourage them by Bhagavad Gita's or Srimad Bhagavatam, or give them beads at least. You know, it's going, buying these beads from ISKCON and selling it on. And again, you know, it will also give a moral, you know, funds also to our mission. And we are preaching Lord also. We are also doing a devotional service. So it will take us to a right path. Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, well, it's nice. You give people Bhagavad Gita, you give them some beads, you know. But, yeah. My point is, you know, we're not even just putting up buildings. You know, your point about the Muslim every 2 kilometers. We want to go to every home. You know, every home, have chanting and have classes, you know, have programs.
See, but then going into all these areas is very difficult. We have to be a little more. See, when they say, when you're fighting,
No, you're right. You're going into these areas because what they do is they go in and they say, if you become a Muslim, we'll take you to Dubai and get you a job.
Exactly.
Right? This is a level of their conversion. This is not proper.
But before you know it, we have to
protect people from that. You see, these things should not be going on. Of course, but that kind of conversion is meaningless also, you know. I mean, it's not really...
Eventually...
And we know ourselves, what is the history in India, you know, in Aurangzeb's time. You know, Aurangzeb, you know, they would go around and... You either take the Quran or they take the sword. Yeah. So... We have... Our preaching, our conversion is just simply by preaching. We have to preach. You have to preach. We have to teach this, the Bhagavad Gita.
That is not there in temples. That's the main problem. We have so many temples in South Indore, but no preaching is there. Yes. We just go there, pray, like just like that. We don't know anything about our religion. So that's the thing. That's the problem.
But religions are held. Muslims, they are
already held.
We have one very nice community now, the devotees at Chaupati in Bombay. There's a community under His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. They've organized themselves in a very nice way in terms of taking care and helping each other. You know, they have a community, they have a committee for grihastas, people, maybe they have difficulties, as you say, they'll help. You know, they'll help each other. Somebody has a health problem, no money for operating, they'll help, they'll get the money. Somebody, young man needs to get married, or young girl needs to get married, they'll arrange it, they'll get them married, you know. No job, they'll help them find the job. They'll get them, you know, they're working together as a community, helping each other, you know, and taking care of each other.
Everybody needs to feel a sense of belonging.
Yes.
And that, see, for example, even here, amount of the conversion that takes place here is amazing. In Dubai itself.
Really?
Dubai, yes. In all the, if you go to any of these towns, you try going to church here for 2 weeks and you show just little interest in the Bible before you know it, and you tell them you want a job in, say, Emirates Airline, you got it. Because they have such a vast network that before you know it, All you have to do is that you are interested in conversion. Uh-huh. And you will get any job you want in Dubai. And that happens very much.
Hare Krishna.